had a fun story to tell you guys, and I forgot what it was.
Oh.
I know. It's real anticlimactic. But anyway, if I think of it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, don't die trying to recover the story.
No, I won't. I promise.
On that exceedingly low note, that very anticlimactic note, I think we kind of have to, right?
Uh-oh.
Well, that
what happened?
I have no idea. Can you hear that?
I heard the music. Yeah, I heard the music.
And then it went down.
Let's pretend that was the start of the show.
Okay.
We're going.
Welcome to AE Double Back for Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. 2308-23. It's almost a palindrome. No, it's not. It's
you're going to say palindrome, and it's like, nothing. Dude, we haven't
some
had
culture,
that in a minute.
In someone's culture, that's probably a very meaningful number.
Let's hope that it is.
You know, my birthday is April 27th, and I see 427 everywhere all the time. Isn't that funny? I mean, I know it's all quinky-dink, but, like, isn't that funny?
I mean, Dunning-Kruger? Is that the effect that we're talking about?
Yeah,
the Volkswagen thing?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the idea, it's not Dunning-Kruger, but it's the idea that once your attention is brought to a thing, then you notice that thing in the world.
Yeah. I think that is probably the situation with moi and my birthday, because it's a very unimportant date in history, you know what I mean?
I think our fans would agree it is the most important day.
Oh, okay.
No. Now we know.
Now we know.
And
now
knowing know. Is half Fighter
the
Fest. Did any of us remember it was Fighter Fest? I feel like
there's so much happening right now. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is anything anymore. And I'm like, what makes it Fighter Fest, really?
Yeah. Like I don't mind when they have like all of these extra things that aren't pay-per-views or anything particular, or even necessarily that we're gonna like alter the show.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have it, and you've obviously moved it already. Just keep it.
Keep
it in your back pocket and wait, because this is not the week for it. We'll talk about – you know what? No, we're going to talk about it right now.
This isn't even the month for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about it now.
Near the end of the show, Excalibur does this traditional thing where it's like, coming up on Rampage.
Buddy strained his voice.
Now he's got to do we're doing Rampage and Collision. But the poor dude had to do Rampage. He had to do Collision. He had to do All In. Then he had to do All Out next week. Oh, right. There's another pay-per-view that we're going to be shelling out another $50 for fucking 7 days later.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, and you're going to call this thing Fighter Fest.
Yeah. Even worse, after we watch the second pay-per-view, 7 days later, you die. I heard
that's what they say.
Yeah, the ring pay-per-view was not a good choice on anybody's part.
They made a bad business decision.
Yeah, well, I mean, why anybody would bother to keep a VHS tape in their house is beyond me.
Right, Calder? actually, I have a bunch also.
now we hear about it.
Yeah. I have exactly two VHS tapes. They're right here. One of them is a tape of sketches that I made, I don't know, 20 years ago that I hope to put onto digital
at some point.
Yes, on Broadway. And the other is a VHS recording of my grandmother from like 1988 or something like that. Again, want to put it on digital at some point because I don't have a VCR. Because I live in 2023.
Well, you think you do.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So I just saw something online about, and I don't remember what it was called, but it basically is like you send these things somewhere and they send it to you in a format that then can go a digital, I believe it's a digital format as well as like a DVD. I could be wrong about that. It could be strictly digital, which I would be nervous about. But a digital version of it would be great because you could have it on your phone. You could put it up on your TV, you know, whatever.
I only want to transfer things onto the golden record that they send into space.
Hey, there you go.
Somebody must do that. There must be some rich billionaire asshole who's like,
I bet you anything, when the first one went out there, somebody did put something in there like, I am George Bush or some shit. I don't know who was around then.
Wait, what?
What?
Like, I hate George Bush as much as the next hard left liberal, but what the hell?
What do you mean?
What? I'm just trying to figure out what weird chicanery you were suggesting that George Bush was doing.
I mean, look, I was just saying, like, wouldn't it? I bet somebody, some uppity up, some monkey muck, was like, put my fucking name in there. Before you send that in space, put my fucking name in there.
Listen, ease off Teresa. She has some kind of an upbeat story that she's digging around for, and we don't want to throw her off any further.
Yeah. I watched a bunch of stuff on UFOs. That was fun.
That is fun.
My brother detests the idea that even the idea that aliens exist. And so I was talking to Mama. I was like, oh, I watched this real cool thing. Da, da, da. And I was talking to her about it. And he just like starts losing his shit in the background. And I'm like, well, I like to live in a world where aliens exist because.
I mean, unquestionably, aliens exist. Do they exist in the form that we are familiar with in popular culture? Unlikely.
Unlikely.
I hope they exist in the form of current hit film Landscape with Invisible Hand, which everyone should go see.
Whoa.
What is that?
It's a movie about like a future Earth where these like gross looking aliens have basically taken control and like humans can only like make a decent living by doing stuff like broadcasting their dates because the aliens find human love exotic.
You know what? That
sounds funny.
That sounds awesome.
It's great. It's really good.
What many listeners may not know is that fully half the reason this show exists is for us to, trade media suggestions before the podcast even starts. Like, here's me going on like, sorry. Hey, if you got BritBox, you really got to check out Deadlock. And Teresa's over here won't name the Korean drama that she's watching, but apparently it's very interesting. It's
possibly a made up like a property that she's in fact workshopping under the guise of it already being a show.
She's just waiting for it to the strike to end so that she can pitch it. She's just like working it out on us.
I want to say it's like Mask of the Queen or something like this. I can't remember.
That is the most generic name that you just pulled out of your butt.
I mean, I did pull out of my butt, which is why I'm not naming it because I don't remember. And because it's in my queue, I never really looked.
How good a show could be if you don't even remember the name?
You know how it is.
Mask of the Queen.
Y'all know how it is.
Don't look it up. You're going to spoil that she just made that name up.
No, Queen of the Mask is a 2023 South Korean television series starring Kim Soon-ah.
Oh, you're going to tell us that you recognize the name Kim Soon-ah?
No, I'm just saying, aha, because it's real.
Kim Soon-ah is Do Dae-yi, a human rights lawyer, an ambitious woman who was promised a successor while taking charge of the governor's office.
Oh, that's not it.
Where'd the concubines come into this?
That's not the right one. Maybe that's when I see advertised a lot and I'm getting it all confused.
We came so close.
So close.
There was a trios match in this fighter fest.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. Let's get to the first thing that happened tonight. The real show.
The real show.
This is what you're here for. This is the only show that matters, AEW.
Yes.
We got this show and there was first of all, Terry Funk had a memorial because Terry Funk died.
Yeah. Do you know who Terry Funk is?
I do not.
He is just like one of the most legendy of legends. He's a guy that, like, I think, like, you think that Ric Flair has had too many retirement matches, air quotes, retirement matches. Terry Funk has been retiring since, like, the 80s. He's just been going on, and he just keeps going, and he's been involved in some of the most amazing and ridiculous and wonderful things. Just such super old school. He was like there was a point where he was way past his prime, shouldn't even have been wrestling, was like tag teaming with Mick Foley during the Attitude Era as Chainsaw Charlie. He wore a pantyhose over his head and carried a chainsaw to the ring.
And it seems like the chainsaw has more to do with his character's brand than the pantyhose.
You know what? You would think that. And yet, of the things that I remember about that character, pantyhose comes first.
Were the pantyhose on his head or on his legs?
On his head, yeah. Might have been on his legs, but he was wearing jeans, so I couldn't tell.
You know, I bet they were control top because he was feeling self-conscious about his tummy.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
I love watching an ad for like compression like garments for men to not look like chubby, just because it's like this thing we just discovered this thing. Look at this. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm spinning around
some super manly name that isn't just a fucking girdle.
Yeah,
but it is just a fucking girdle.
So, yeah. Man waist.
The way I know Terry Funk but best is from
clencher.
The way I know Terry Funk best is from Roadhouse. He's like the main bouncer on Roadhouse before Patrick Swayze cleans it up.
I don't think I knew that.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Wild. Okay. Into it.
Learning things.
So yeah,
like anyway, so that was a bummer. I mean, I didn't know him, but I assume it's a bummer.
And you're never, and now you're never going to know him.
I'll never know him now.
Look, there is hours, weeks, months of footage of Terry Funk, and yeah, go find some.
All right, so we got the Elite versus, Bullet Club Gold.
Most of
and
it.
At first, it's just Austin, Colton, and Juice Robinson.
Mm-hmm. But this is fantastic.
But Jay White knocked out the ref. So then it turned
Juice did.
Oops.
Because
sorry, Juice.
You can tell because he cocks his fist so far, he's like in orbit. His left hand is just honestly, outside of the
ring. That's just what I thought. But like later the announcers, I think it was Shivani or someone, said that Jay White knocked out the ref. So it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, there's a billion people in the ring and, you know, I cut them slack when they miss a name.
Well, I don't necessarily. So.
I know. Because you're cold and heartless.
Yes, it's true. So I mean,
Teresa misses names all the time. It's just is Korean dramas that she won't be able to tell us about.
That's your specialty.
That's fine. That's where I choose to completely forget everything.
Yeah, because she really needs to add a racist element to it.
You know what? It just doesn't feel right otherwise. all right, so we've got this whole thing happening. First of all, I mean, who doesn't want to see the Elite versus Bullet Club Gold? Of course. Yep. Of course. Ooh, indeed. I want to see Juice Robinson and Kenny Omega all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, once the ref was knocked out, then Jay White and Takeshita just started going crazy. And it was just like, you know, the Bucks were knocked out. And so they're tackling Kenny. So then FTR shows up. And so then that was cool. They're like, ooh, it's going to be a thing. Anyways, they start evening the odds a little bit, but then there's Takeshita and Kenny at the end. And like, it's so crazy. Like this was, the whole thing was a DQ. Like, I mean, I'm not mad about it, but.
Oh, I loved it so much because like the whole point of a go home show is like, yeah, get people excited for the pay-per-view. And right, obviously you can't give away any of the matches that are on the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that later. But like, this was just like everybody just getting into it, and it was really intense. And they kind of established at the beginning, like, oh, the bell hasn't even rung. So, mm-hmm, oh, we know we're not going to see anything like a match. Let's just see some chaos from a bunch of people that we're really excited about. And yes, I'm really excited about everybody in here. And to see, yeah, the way Juice did it, like, it was such a dramatic, over the top, you know, like, wha-pow to knock out the ref, that is like, nobody touches the ref. So when you do it, it's like, mm-hmm, I was genuinely shocked. And then the whole, yeah, thing was just like, yes, this is fantastic. It does the job in a completely different way from normal. And I was just like, just, I was giggling like a schoolgirl.
I think, yeah, it'd be funny if the ref like suddenly succumbed to some kind of food poisoning, right? Like you see him dramatically take a bite of a cheeseburger and then he suddenly gets stricken and falls down.
I mean, yes. You know what? I'm going to say yes, because I was the one that just said, I just want to see it happen differently. Surprise, yeah, me. So, yes.
And it would be like Juice Robinson gives him the burger, you know?
Look, the only person that could sell that to me would be Juice Robinson.
And it is like here, have this untainted burger. And the yes, announced team would be like, Juice Robinson.
Why did he say untainted? That doesn't seem necessary information.
Oh, it's this perfect burger.
All right, now I'm 100% on board. I want to see this next week.
So, yeah, it was interesting. I was mad at it because I was like, what are they going to do? Also, oh, here's something we should tell the listeners, because I wasn't going to do this, but I did.
Uh-oh.
I watched Collision.
Oh,
and I saw everybody I wanted to see. I saw everything I wanted to see. I was like, they are cutting Wednesday short, man. They are. They are giving us the short shrift. Not into that. And so there's your answer, ladies and gentlemen. If
how does it feel? Me
and you've been holding out on it because you're like, I refuse. It's unfortunate, but the show you want to watch is actually Saturdays.
I think literally nobody who is listening to this thought that.
That was just me, I guess. Well, anyways, I mean, so yeah.
What you can filter out of that is that it's an enjoyable, like, 2 hours on Saturday evenings with a lot of the best of AEW. And, you know, you can definitely be resentful that all the best isn't in a solid 2 hours, but is instead now spread out through three shows. But it still is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. You know, you have to basically make all of your shows great. So spread the love around. I do kind of wish that it were a little more segmented. Like, don't do the thing where like WWE does of like, we're strict brand, you know, separation and all that, and then immediately give up on it. But just like, you know, like kind of like the thing, I'm like, yes, we only see House of Black over here. We only see the Acclaimed over here. And, you know, like every once in a while, the pay-per-view shows up and kind of bleeds into each other. But then you sort of keep it separate just so they have their own feel to them.
Well, yeah, the way that AEW does bleeding into each other is usually more literal.
Indeed.
That's the truth.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I gave this a thumbs up because, yeah, what else are they going to do,
yeah,
when they have two pay-per-views coming up week after week? I'm like, there's not even enough time. Like, is this next pay-per-view going to be just like building storylines for the next pay-per-view? Like, what's happening?
I mean, I hope not, because this is literally the biggest show in the history of professional wrestling. So
I know, like they
maybe give it its own due. Yeah,
they fucked up. They're like, we're just gonna have this one-off. It won't be a pay-per-view. And then they're like, wait a minute, this has to be a pay-per-view. And then they're like, oh shit.
Oh no.
We also signed a contract with this venue that we would have a pay-per-view show in their venue. Oh no, what do we do now, Tony?
And the landlord is coming by.
And we're not supposed to have a dog. What do we do now? Oh, town A.
What do we do?
Anyway, Calder, did you thumb this
up? Yeah, it's a thumbs up for sure, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So then we've got MJF with Renee Paquette.
One wonderful Renee.
This was a night of a thousand Renees.
Even in situations where it would have, there would have been some logical sense in it not being Renee.
Yeah.
But I assume that everybody has flown to the UK already or is otherwise indisposed.
Honestly.
It was so bad. Like, I love Renee Paquette. I want to see her a lot. But it was just segment after segment after segment that just kept hitting right back to her. And I'm like, dude, break it up some.
Or use there were a lot some of the other people. They got a lot of other people, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They sent most of the other interviewer people that they have to London, and they sent Marvez probably someplace else entirely.
I would be okay with that.
Poor Marvez. Aww. No one knows why he gets shit on. It's sort of like, it's sort of like Guy Fieri, right? All the guy ever wanted was to take you to Flavortown, and everyone gives him so much shit.
Well, I learned things about him that I decided I didn't like, but for another time.
Oh, okay.
I learned things about him that I decided I do like, but I still somehow dislike him. I don't know. That's hypocrisy on my part, but
perfect. Well, anyways, so whatever. Renee was with MJF, and my fucking God.
Yeah.
This was like three different promos. It was MJF doing three different types of MJF. It was so good. I was like, my God, like, how is this possible? How is he this good?
I hope this isn't one of those things where he just like flares out at a young age, just burns out. Cause like, as far as I'm concerned, he can only get better, and he's already better than almost anybody on the planet.
How is it possible for him to flame out?
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of reasons.
I mean,
it's very possible.
But I mean, unless he's like doing drugs and like totally can't fulfill his obligations and, you know, gets in trouble with the law.
Here's the thing. Think of yourself at 26. Uh-huh. And how smart were you? Like, how many good choices did you make versus bad choices? How many, you know, like, that's looking back on it now, how do you think you did?
I did flame out of a pro wrestling federation back then. But that was.
Well, you were never going to make it anyway. We all knew that.
I mean, I thought I did okay for myself. But I mean, I've never had a single career. So I don't know. I don't know. I thought I did all right. But I made some good choices.
No, you fucked up.
You can't even ask me that though. It's not, you can't ask a regular person that. We're talking about someone who is a wrestler and who's like a TV personality. Like, how could he fuck this up when he already has figured out how to like spare his body in some sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's developed this character that everyone loves. Mm-hmm. Is he going to just like have a totally different character someday? That would be weird.
I mean, but are you suggesting that all of this success couldn't possibly go to his head? Are you suggesting that all of the money at such a young age might not cause some problems?
Are you suggesting that having
all of this success might not burn him out on the feeling of success to the point where nothing can now fill that hole that was in his heart that made him chase that success in the first place?
Or he could have a literal hole in his heart that makes him retire.
I mean, it could just be a John Ritter kind of thing, and that would be the worst.
Well, look, I'm not saying there aren't ways in which someone can fuck up, but I'm saying outside of that, like, how could he flame out? You know what I mean?
I mean,
that's what I was saying.
There's a thing called the 27 Club.
I don't know. No one wants to listen to us argue this. This is the most boring.
I mean, like, the entire podcast is predicated on the opposite.
Like, we were celebrating one of the greats and we managed to turn it into a treatise on failure and death and sadness, which seems par for the course.
Life in general.
My favorite thing that's going on right now with MJF is the fact that there's this window of him being facey where you're going to get, it feels like, sort of more information and more substance out of him. And like, as a heel, there's more of a facade or some kind of a covering that makes it so that you hear less from it from deep within. Like, it, as a face, it feels more like you're hearing a genuine MJF, the person. And I kind of like that's this temporary thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which then also is the seeds that he's planting for later down the road when he turns heels. Like, you know, like, remember when I told you that one time that, you know, this cool thing happened to me and now it's all worthless? And yeah, it's just wonderful. Also, the 2023 version of the British Bulldog without crooked teeth and a good speaker is one of the great lines in pro wrestling history. Oh,
he had some great things. I mean, so he pulled out so many great Britishisms, like the chav with the whatever the hell he said. Oh man, that was good. Anywho, it was great. I
thought it was great. Yes.
Yeah.
Super good.
Thumbs up. That was fantastic.
Thumbs up.
Big thumbs. Big thumbs. We've got Mox versus Phoenix. Now, earlier in the day, caller texted us all to be like, it looks like Phoenix is having trouble with his visa, which is odd because, like, why would that be? And, you know, he travels internationally a lot. So that's weird. But there's some issue, I guess. And so it was looking like he wasn't going to be able to go to London, which is horrible. Absolutely heartbreaking and horrible because this is going to be a big fat deal, right? And you want to be there, especially as one of the stars of the show. You want to fucking be there.
Yep. And there's enough people already that can't be there for injury, like without adding people who can't be there for visa reasons or whatever.
Yeah, something stupid like a visa, you know? So anyways, but look, England's being also really fucking stupid about quite a few things at the moment. So it's not maybe it shouldn't be a surprise that there's an issue suddenly with a visa, but I don't know. It's just, it's very questionable in my mind.
It sucks, but like, we were already primed for it when the news of Cash's arrest came through. And so we're always like already thinking like, oh, Jesus, visa problems.
Right. And that's the thing, right? What the fuck could it be that he's having an issue with? Whatever. I could go down a rabbit hole, but I don't want to start getting really political, so I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Here's any wrestler I would believe did something that would get them banned from any given country.
All right. Well, I just don't
not Saudi Arabia.
that's a place where the things you'll do get you fucking dismembered.
So. Anyway, so right at the top when I see Mox and Phoenix, this is like an unannounced match, right? And it's happening tonight. I was like, oh, this is how they're going to do it. They're going to injure Phoenix to the point that he can't go. And this match.
You know what?
What?
Calder said that, but my response when he came out was like, oh my God, this show is so ridiculously front-loaded. like we got so much star power right at the beginning. And I was just baffled. Didn't even occur to me that they would injure him out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really?
I'm just,
that, wasn't that seemed like the obvious thing.
I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just
you're
like,
stupid.
We you know what?
You're that is dummy.
Fair.
An 100%
fair. I will take that criticism and I will take it to my grave.
Heart. Take it to heart. Really think about it.
Take it into your big dumb brain.
Let it sink
only room
in
for a couple
and
things there.
Really get in the way later on down the road.
Yep.
So yeah, this match is going on. Shit was happening. It was not looking great for Phoenix. I mean, it was like he was doing his thing, but then Mox had a what happened? I don't remember what. God, I just like
what at the end?
Yeah. Okay. So
because at the end, he gave him an avalanche death rider, which looked great. And then he kicked out of that, and I was like, oh, man.
I mean, the match was looking really good. And we have, though, at the end, which is really fucked up, Mox wins, and then Yuta and Claudio come out, and they've got crowbars. Yep. And they hit Phoenix in the head with a fucking crowbar, okay? And there's no blood somehow. It's all internal injuries, guys, which is worse. You don't want a subdermal hematoma. That's not
fair. True.
So then Eddie and Penta come out, and they're like, we're going to fuck you up. But then Ortiz and Santana come out, and they're like, we're going to fuck you up.
I thought that they were pissed at each other, so I was really surprised by that.
I mean, a lot of time has gone by.
My understanding is that they still like have difficulties with each other, but I guess they're dealing with it for the sake of the money.
That makes perfect sense. And I mean,
there's a lot of things you got to do for money. Mm-hmm. It's kidding.
The sex.
So anyway, okay. So then Santana and Ortiz start attacking Eddie and Penta. Phoenix. Wait, is that when he gets hit in the head? Oh, wait. Maybe that's what happens. Yuta and Claudia came out. Then Eddie and Penta came out. Then Ortiz and Santana came out. And they're attacking Eddie and Penta. And while that's happening in the ring, Yuta hits Phoenix in the head with a crowbar. It's hard for me to say exactly when that happened because they cut away. And this just told us what happened. So
to be fair, I'm
later
fine
they
with that.
Show it. They show it later. But
oh, do they? Did I miss the shot?
There was a recap. Yeah.
Because like I don't want to see them hit somebody in the side of the head with a crowbar because like it's going to be super unrealistic. So like sure, cut away. Santana's got a mad ball. Air quotes, mad ball, and you know, he's smacking people with it. So yeah, cut away and then come back and like, oh no, Phoenix is knocked out. Oh, this is terrible. Put him on a stretcher.
My favorite thing is that at some point the commentary desk sadly remarked, like hitting him with a crowbar.
Hold on. What? We're not there yet because that is really one of the highlights of the show for me.
One of the best segues
Because like they end this thing and like go to commercial. They come back and you know like they're loading them into the ambulance. Almost said the hospital truck, and I caught it just before the words came out of my mouth. And Eddie's walking around like doing his thing where he's like he's upset, and you're like, yes, Eddie Kingston is genuinely upset because I can't tell at any point that he's faking anything, and. Renee is now in the role of Mox's wife, and you know he's your husband did. You want me to fix it? I'll fix it like in London.
I'll fix it in Wembley. Yeah.
And that is I love that just little nugget there of like this air quotes real life interaction and Renee being like a person as opposed to the interviewer. and all of that angle is okay. So money.
Can I go to prior to that, the best moment of the night? There's two that happened right before that.
Okay, well, because right after that is the shifting gears. But yes, was before?
It was before.
Was it before?
Yeah. So basically, before they go to shots of the ambulance, we see them loading, Phoenix out of the arena and stuff on a stretcher. And then, Excalibur says, we're just going to have to, we'll keep you posted on what happens with Ray Phoenix. And we're all really concerned. All the guys look really somber at the announcement. And he's like, but,
shifting gears to our partners at DraftKings.
He's like giving some promo on if you do this and you don't have DraftKings. I died on the table. I was like, DOA, I am not alive anymore.
That was the funniest
fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know. To me, it seems like you did a bad job of putting the show together. You put this ad immediately after this segment where they're trying to sell it as a real tragedy happening. And so Excalibur has to, give this as like a funeral dirge. DraftKings is the funnest thing you could possibly do with your money. And I don't, all this kind of thing. But then again, maybe it's pure genius where they're like, okay, look, we know this is going to happen. So just like ram it home, Excalibur, just make it the most juxtaposed thing and make people laugh because it's so ridiculous.
And after that, then they show the paramedics and all the ambulance and everything. And some paramedics in quotes, because I really don't buy it. But like this guy in a polo shirt who's a paramedic gets in the ambulance and you see his ass crack. Like it's just all ass crack.
Okay.
He's like trying to get himself in there. I was like, this is fucking funny.
I did not see that.
Eddie's like, you saw what your husband did. I was like, yeah, get on her. Get on her, Eddie. This is inappropriate.
This is when you would have maybe sent Marvez to do the interview.
See, Marvez has a function. Even Shivani would have been a good choice.
Yeah. No, I continue to hold that is a brilliant piece, just this tiny little nugget of drama that does not feel like everything else around it and sort of like it and pulls you in even further.
Also, have you guys seen the movie Too Funny to Fail? No. It's about Dana Carvey's TV show.
Yes.
And the funny juxtaposition of like the Home Improvement where Justin Taylor Thomas, his character, gets cancer. And like, they're like, tonight on Home Improvement. And then it's like, Dad, I don't want to have cancer, Dad. Do all this stuff. And then he's like, followed by
The Dana Carvey Show.
Diet Mug Root Beer presents The Dana Carvey Show because he had like different sponsors every week.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's basically exactly what Excalibur did, but it's this TV announcer that had to announce. Oh, God, it was so funny. Anyways, if you haven't seen Too Funny to Fail, I recommend it. It's on Hulu, so do it.
Ooh,
yes.
Again, that's all this show was good for us.
Yeah, she was able to name this American show.
Only because I've watched it a million times. Yeah,
but the thing that I was thinking of, Chan, I don't know if you were still going to mention this, but the thing that I thought was especially funny was that like in the midst of them like being like in the moment of like, oh, this tragedy has happened, like they're like, oh, hitting him in the head with a crowbar, that's not wrestling. and I just was like, I mean, it exactly is wrestling if it's a no DQs death match, but which happens all the time.
Yeah, it's AEW wrestling, that's for sure.
So much gold in there.
Yeah, it was just superb. But then we've got Renee again. With two. Sammy.
No, I'm sorry. Three, because I forgot about the segment in between.
That's right.
Three wonderful Renees.
She's interviewing Sammy, but they get interrupted by Daddy Magic and Cool Hand Ange and
Danny Garcia.
It's great. Basically, they're trying to sow the seed of doubt, and they're not wrong.
No. Nope.
Not wrong, because it is true that Jericho has not been the best friend to these guys, that he could have been. So they're saying, why waste your skin, man?
I don't think he could have been, because that's a completely different faction. He could not have been a best friend.
Yep, you're right there.
Yes, yes, I am. I will take your acknowledgement as a laugh. If I made a funny joke.
Ooh, someone's ding went off. Or maybe that was me.
I did not hear it, so that was you.
Okay, good. If you guys didn't hear it, good, because someone texted me, and now that I'm doing all my stuff on my computer.
Please keep your dingling to yourself.
All my stuff is dinging, and I don't normally ever have to deal with that, because I normally don't have any of this stuff connected, but I did so that it would make communicating with you knuckleheads easier.
Oh, knucklehead.
This is on you, Calder. No, wait a minute. It was on you, Teresa, because you didn't want to use Facebook. So
yeah, exactly.
Now we're on Signal, for crying out loud.
I know it's my fault.
I think we're much better off on Signal.
I agree. Facebook can eat hot shits.
I mean, yes. I feel like the enhanced security measures are not necessary to cover up our conversations about awful pizza variations.
Oh man.
And occasional
they're jealous is what it is.
Weird dolls. Yeah, I don't know. Weird our chat dolls. Is just a horror show of ridiculous things that nobody needs to know about.
I just like it, so you watch your mouth. Anyway,
did we thumb this Mox and Phoenix? All of this is just
I thumb it up because look, you're suddenly in a situation where you gotta be down somebody. They're like, what do we do? Oh, you know who we have on our roster? We've got Mox and the BCC. They can fucking murder people. Oh, you're right. You're right. They can, and they do.
They can and will.
One thing that I just noticed that is like a super niche thing. You won't understand it. I don't think anybody listening will understand it. But there was a Korean mixed martial artist, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I forget his name, but his nickname was the Korean Zombie. And
his thing was
basically just that he would just wade in and people would just start taking swings at him and just clobbering him in the head, and he would just keep coming forward. And that is not a recipe for a long career in combat sports, but it was fascinating to watch. And I realized watching Mox tonight, that is a large part of why he's so engaging in the ring, is because he's sort of like a zombie. Like, you throw things at him, he's like, and then he just keeps coming forward. And he keeps coming forward. And I'm like, that is really interesting and really cool. I don't really think of other people doing that. I think that just might be his, thing. That's all.
Cool.
Your silence tells me that I am super interesting, and the observations I've made
are boggling your mind. I'm very excited about everything you said.
I thought we were conspiring to no-sell anything Chan did from now on as a joke.
We could do that. Oh, man, that'd be a whole fun show, wouldn't it?
Joke or real, it all hits the same to me. if I may, four wonderful Renees. Oh, wait, did I already do four? Where are we?
We're okay.
I'm sorry. No.
Three was Sammy.
No, four was Sammy. I already did four. So yeah. We're four Renee sightings.
That's right. Wait, one.
Yeah.
No, wait, one, two, this is three. Sammy is three.
One is Renee. Two is...
one is always Renee. The first one is MJF.
Thank you.
The second one is Eddie.
Two is Eddie.
Three is Sammy.
Three is Sammy. Okay, we're three. I apologize.
You should apologize. Apologize to numbers.
You should be sorry.
I apologize to Count Von Count. What do we thumb this?
I middled it. Because I do enjoy what's happening here. I liked Garcia giving him just like the stonewall silence. I like Julian Edge. I love Daddy Magic. But I'm middling it because I'm just, you know, I don't know. I guess this is like all dragging in a way that I'm just, it's not, I guess I'm not as excited to thumb it up.
Agreed.
I feel the same way.
We have to do this, but also, does it make me want to watch that match more this weekend? No.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one is Shivani in ring for a contract signing. We've got Will Ospreay coming out with Don Callis, and we've got Jericho. They beefed up security due to the obvious scary nature of having these two men in the ring at the same time. These
two beasts.
And I love Will Ospreay. There's something about his accent too that just like makes his promos sound better. They might not even be better. but I just like his energy. I like his promos. I definitely love him as a wrestler. So,
You know,
this was all very interesting. I loved how the crowd was reacting to Don.
Yeah. God, just the heat for that guy.
Yeah.
So great.
It's intense. It's great. I gave it a thumbs up. And, absolutely. You know, it's a contract signing. So it's like, again, I was like, what are they going to do on Saturday? By the way, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay. What is all this noise coming from? Is someone sharpening a pencil?
Keep your allergies in check, Calder.
Sorry. It sounded like someone was sharpening a pencil. Like in those like automated pencil sharpeners. Oh, it is. Okay. So, okay.
I haven't heard him, which makes me think that he's dropped out because he has not responded to any of this.
Unless he muted himself.
I'm here.
Oh, see. Okay.
Yeah, he did. Whatever. Okay. You got over your disgusting noises. Thank you for that.
there's a Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? They have to be in London already. But they're not. They're in America right now on Wednesday. So,
yes, I believe last week they were talking about how they had to shoot a bunch of stuff for this week because they're not going to be there. So I don't know how much of Rampage and Collision is already done, but it's possible that they're like headed out, you know, like after tonight.
It's crazy, right? I mean,
you know what they should have done is to do Chris Jericho's wrestling cruise on the way.
Oh man!
Oh yeah,
that just like been a cool. Long. Mm-hmm. I know my. Way around that ship backwards and forwards. I used to work on it. I lived on it for months.
Oh, someday when we're huge, when this podcast is as big as the Jericho Cruise, we'll record from there.
That'd be so cool. Oh, and there wrestlers on that ship too. My friend, I had a different friend that did a Curtain Jerks podcast, and they
other also, friends.
Yeah, I know, right?
Other wrestling friends?
Yeah, ooh. I know. We ran into them at the forum once.
Those
were my friend that I ran. Yeah. Anyways, I forget who it was that was on the ship, and he got an interview with them, which was really cool because the guy's on vacation. You know what I mean? So I was surprised that he had the guts to ask him, hey, you want to do an interview? And then the guy's like, yeah, okay. All right.
if it were me, wrestlers out there thinking about being on this podcast, just know I would never bother you on vacation.
Oh,
but sweet. If you would like to be interviewed by Teresa, just walk up to her. She will happily do it.
I will. Mm-hmm. I'll pull out my phone and hopefully it has any charge because it famously does not. And I'll get as much down on my phone as possible.
You'll get a completely out of character MJF and your phone will die 30 seconds into it.
Oh my God. I'll have such gold and like I'll drop it down a well or something.
Yeah, I really liked Ospreay in this. Yes. Like his thing about how the match is like a vanity project. So say your band performed in Wembley. I'm like, oh, dang.
Yep.
Like we were talking about how he was like, hey, you know, Fozzy's going to be playing Wembley. You know, he's saying he's better than the Elite, better than Danielson, better than Punk, better than like all of that was just so great. But then Jericho's response like really took the wind out of my sails because like his basically what he was saying was like, hey, you remember when I called you and told you you should do less in the ring? He's telling him to slow down. That's some heel shit, man. That's some like I'm an old man and you should be listening to my old man stuff, which is, I mean, in real life, yes, very important and absolutely you should be doing that. In a heel promo or in a wrestling promo in the middle of a ring with thousands of people watching you, that is absolutely not the tact to take. And I was like, I'm supposed to be cheering for you as a face against this dastardly heel, and I want to see him kick the shit out of you. So I did not like how that ended up. I want to see this match. I wanted to watch it less because of this promo.
Interesting.
That's a different take. I wouldn't have thought.
I mean, that's me. What do you think about it?
Well, I mean, I still want to see the match. I do think this was really a lot of heel shit. And I got to say, like, there's something about Jericho's look, this is so stupid. Like, what I'm about to say is so dumb.
Oh, okay.
There's
okay.
Something about, like, his hair. I know, again, so dumb. It was like, there's something about his hair that made him look old and tired. I don't know why. And then up against this energy coming from, what's his face?
Ospreay?
Will Ospreay. Ospreay? Mm-hmm. Like it was then clashing like, oh my God, this is like old tired man. And then Will Ospreay, young, like energetic wrestler, man. And obviously like I don't get that from Jericho most of the time though. You know what I mean? I don't see him as like an old tired man. And maybe he was honestly tired that week. And maybe, I don't know, there's a lot going on. And so, you know, it's going to be a crazy fucking 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So, but I don't know why his hair was the thing that made me think that. So when Ospreay is saying that kind of stuff, then it just is layering onto what I'm perceiving already. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And I don't know if Jericho is getting to a point in his career where he wants to retire. These are the kinds of things I think that happen, you know, like, I don't know, because I guess I haven't witnessed wrestlers retire much at all. So I don't know what they do. I don't know what happens. Does someone always say you're old man? And then they like, does someone always whisper in their ear some hideous shit that makes them take their boots off? Like, I don't know. So like, maybe this is the kind of thing, you know, that he's like, you're right. I got to pass the torch, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But, so yeah, I don't know what it is. And you know, Jericho used to have a smirk on his face all the time and it was awesome. And when he started going a little more face, he started having a more neutral face, and I hate it. I don't like it. So I would love it if you'd go crazy ass heel at some point, because I miss heel Jericho. He's so much fun.
Yep.
And I don't think that Jas has been very heel. You know what I mean? They've been in some weird nebulous space that's like, they're heels, they do heel stuff, but they also, like, his promos aren't heel promos, and like, they're way, way over. And, you know, so there's stuff that I'm like, I just want Jericho to be that insane heel. They used to talk about how much he hated Orange Cassidy, that, like, was on the announce desk all the time. I miss that Jericho. And it would be great if he came back one way or the other. So we'll see.
I don't know how feasible it is. I don't know that I've seen it done right before. But, like, Logan was such a fantastic movie. And that idea of, you know, the old guy, like, winding down and not able to, you know, give it all of that anymore, but, like, still has a really grizzled, hardened, you know, presence. Like
the Rooster Cogburn.
Yes.
Kind of. that was a famous, like, late career character that John Wayne had, where it was the old hard bitten guy. And John Wayne, of course, had been the young virile guy, but this was his Logan, basically.
Yeah. Or, like, Unforgiven, you know, like, Eastwood's always had that kind of vibe, but, you know, just like past the prime and, you know, figuring out, you know, what you still have to give at this point. Cause yeah, Jericho, I love the man. He's done some amazing things. He can't go at the level of Ospreay anymore. So how do you put together a compelling match? It's definitely doable, but, like, if you're going to challenge him on the level of, like, yeah, I'm going to be as athletic as you, fuck off, man. You know,
it's gonna be a different type of match. It has to
be.
But anyways, yeah, so I had given it a thumbs up. And I'm interested in it. I wanna see it.
Yeah. I middled it, but yeah.
I thumbs it up mostly because of Ospreay.
Yeah. I would agree with that. We've got Renee Paquette.
Okay. How many is that? Four wonderful Renees. Okay.
This is four. So you're right on that.
It's another sit down, which makes sense because it was a sit down with MJF, and here's a sit down with Cole. So, like, they marry each other. Yes. That's fine.
Adam Cole and Renee Paquette, they're having a chat. And this is very interesting. You know, Adam Cole gets real pissed off because he doesn't understand what everybody else doesn't understand about his friendships. Like, he doesn't understand why people can't just believe that he really is friends with MJF. So, I don't know. We'll see. Like, he has to prove it, right? He's got to prove he's friends with MJF by not doing some fucked up stuff, right? We'll see.
I trust the booking on this implicitly, but I don't understand how it's going to come about because they're pushing so hard, you know, like, oh, you're a good guy, Adam Cole. You wouldn't ever possibly turn on MJF, that I feel like he has to be turning on them.
Yeah.
But because they're pushing so hard, you know, it's like, never bet against a Sicilian when death is on the line. Like, obviously they have to pull the swerve. How are they going to subvert my expectations while giving me what I didn't even know that I wanted?
Well, Adam Cole's natural space is heel work.
Yep.
And he's only really been doing this face stuff because he had been gone. He had a terrible injury. So, you know, he's been riding that wave. So, I don't know. Like, he at some point was going to come back to this heel area at some point. And so,
someday.
Yeah, maybe this is the moment. Maybe something's going to happen. And, I don't know.
I don't like how there have been so many like just honest mistakes that are have been taken personally. You know what I mean? Like he kicks, MJF is watching him kick because he's holding somebody. This is later. And, you know, MJF sees the guy duck. And so then he ends up catching Adam Cole's foot. Instead.
No, Adam's Cole is correct. When there's more than one Adam Cole.
Adam's Cole, yeah. Cole. Attorney's Cole.
We should talk about this later because I do have thoughts on that specific spot
anyways,
as well.
I give this bit a thumbs up.
I thumbed it down.
Oh.
This is the turning point where I was like, okay, that's too much Renee. And also his reaction at the end, like, I can't believe this didn't click for me. I didn't get like how it didn't feel right. And I just, I did not like it.
All right.
Interesting. Interesting.
Caller?
It was enough for me.
We have Darby Allin and Nick Wayne versus Swerve and AR Fox.
Oh, I'm ready for this segment.
Confused me, and I was not happy because this is the same match that we're getting on Sunday with one person swapped out. At this point, that's what it was.
Yeah. We got, you know, AR Fox is wearing the bloody tank top from Nick Wayne's, you know, place. And
I would say that was gross, but nothing is grosser than the Mimosa Mayhem jacket.
I sincerely hope that that is sitting somewhere in a hermetically sealed case.
I hope it's hermetically sealed.
I mean, somewhere because it's history.
Yeah, it's probably at the Smithsonian.
I would hope so. The wrestling wing of the Smithsonian Natural History Museum.
Yeah, that's right.
I loved how at the time Jericho's like selling this whole like, I came up with all these famous matches and now I just came up with the Mimosa match. And it's like, funny, like there will never be ever again in the history of the earth the elements needed to make something like this even like a necessity.
It was really the perfect combination of factors.
Yeah. everyone's stuck at home. Anyways, whatever. We've got. Okay, this was all very interesting. I thought the match was fine. You know, it's crazy how well Nick Wayne could perform, but is it all that crazy when we have on the roster someone like, you know, the like top flight, you know what I mean?
Or Hook.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I recognize it's a incredible thing at the same time, like whatever.
It's impressive, but he still to this point is sort of an uncharismatic Hook has more going on as far as that goes than he does, and I don't know, maybe he can do more in the ring, I guess, I don't know. But yeah, it still is a work in progress, it feels like.
Yeah, he is yet to excite someone like myself who frankly could not give a shit.
I was just really amused that you couched it that way, as though we could conceivably be talking about someone apart from yourself. That, you know, I don't know, someone like me. No, I'm not saying we're talking about me, but someone like akin to myself.
Yeah. Hey, I like to think that I'm not the only person out there with these thoughts.
You're not alone, Teresa.
all right. I'm just going to cut to the chase.
Please.
In Miracle of Miracles, because Darby Allin holds back Swerve. Swerve isn't able to come to the aid of AR Fox, who's in a pin from Nick, who looks like a tiny little twig. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure AR Fox can just throw this guy off him, but doesn't happen. And so that means that Darby and Swerve win. But, you know, Swerve is super mad about it, and he gets on the mic and he starts laughing and he's saying he's disappointed. It's very disappointing. And the announcer was like, yeah, I mean, the guy's only 18, you know. And he's like, I'm disappointed in you, Fox. And then they start to really like come down on AR Fox. And I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck is happening right now? Prince Nana fires AR Fox.
Well, this is the best part. Swerve hands it off to Prince Nana, and he says, like, Prince Nana, handle my light work.
Yes. Yes.
And so he gets fired, and I was like, wait a fucking minute. Aren't they going to be at Wembley? What the fuck's going on right now? So Brian Cage comes in and knocks out AR Fox. But Darby and Wayne come back. And they come back with Sting, and they start to protect Fox. And then Darby gets on the mic, and he's like, oh, you know, and he lifts up AR Fox, and they hug it out, and he's like, I love you, man. And then Darby is yelling at Swerve and Prince Nana. And Darby is like, so who do you got, you know, for Wembley? And Nana is rubbing his hands and laughing. And I want him to do that all the time. It's so cartoony. It's so perfect. It's like, oh my God, I love this so much. So Christian Cage comes out with Luchasaurus, and Christian Cage fucking murders this promo. The crowd was so deafeningly loud. And I mean,
I heard you had a father, and your father is dead.
And like, you know, that's catnip for Christian, is if anyone has a dead father, he's going to find them.
So great.
It's the second time he's done this. He's got a thing for kids without dads. Anyways, so this is so good. It all, because of everything involved, all of it gets a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I Swerve turning on Strickland, I didn't realize.
On AR Fox.
Sorry. Swerve turning on Strickland. Swerve turning on Fox. I didn't know how much Swerve had his hooks into me. But like, and I read a interview with him recently where he was talking about like, how do we, you know, draw people in like emotionally? Like that's his driving force. And like, I felt it here. Like when he's calling Fox a loser, I'm like,
yes,
like this is very standard language. You're a loser. Yeah. What, you know, wrestler doesn't say that to another wrestler. It was so mean. Yes. And he's like, you can't beat an 18-year-old child. And I was like, no, you do. No. I was honestly losing my mind.
Yeah. I just want to observe that in the eyes of the law, an 18-year-old is a man.
And then Christian comes out and does his thing. And I'm like just the like slathering on the Healy goodness. I just like, oh yeah. This is what I was hoping would happen when Jericho teamed up with Callis. You know, like, oh yeah, we're just gonna like lay it on thick, and you're just gonna like
a super
luxuriate.
Team.
Yes.
Yeah. Heel super team. That's what I was hoping for too.
Yeah. So like this thing is happening now, and I'm just like, I put multiple thumbs up on this. Like, I'm only gonna count it the once, but this is one of those where like I'm just like, yes, this is the stuff.
In your secret other books, it's got 5.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 6.5 in the Tokyo Dome.
Thumbs up. I'm assuming you thumbed it up, Calder. thoughts?
Absolutely. Better up. I will of fight course. You. I no. will fucking.
No, this was prime stuff for Swerve and all concerned.
Yes, and all concerned.
Five wonderful Renees.
Yeah, she's with the Young Bucks.
Sitting down again.
FTR. Mm. And, you know, they're talking legacy. And it was good. I liked it, especially at the end when Dax started getting really pissed off and he's trying to like muffle it. But all in all, I was like, oh my God, this is boring. Like, I can't say I hate it.
You can say that. It's
bad, but I'm just like, why? You know what I mean? Why are we talking legacy? Like, I already know, like, we know. There's no reason you need these belts other than legacy, right? You guys are, like, champions over and over and over again. So, it's the whole point is that you want to say that this match will definitively prove that one group is better than the other. And I don't know. Like, I guess maybe there's just been too much conversation like that lately, and I'm just kind of getting bored with it. Is that very unwrestling of me?
No, you're not wrong. Like, on the one hand, I get how, you know, you want to mix up the matches, and some of them are going to be the baddest of bad heels and the goodest of good, you know, faces. And then some of them are, you know, going to be a little closer to, like, these are both basically face teams facing off, and it's going to be like, who is the better, you know, it's going to be an athletic competition. So yeah, I get why it is like this, but also the point that engaged me the most was when Matt started getting a little heelish, and he was like, look, like, we're the reason this is here. Like, our legacy is cemented. We don't need this bullshit. And I really wanted him to push it further and be like, look, sorry, we're the fucking best. We sign your checks. You guys are trash. Yeah. And then let FTR be like, how dare you? And then we have emotional stakes to this beyond just, you know, pride is on the line, brother. Cause I don't give a shit about that.
It's also really hard to follow the promos that had just happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
this has been a promo fest tonight, you know?
Yes.
And yep.
I normally have a serious problem with that. Obviously, there's not a lot they can do moving into the next, like, 2 weeks. You know, there's not a lot they can do match-wise. So I'm forgiving on that this week. But I don't know. Just kind of like, yeah, come on, people. Come on, peeps.
I mean, it's kind of like Renee is here so many times. This is her third sit-down interview. Sit-down interviews are by nature introspective and quiet. And you put three of them in a show that dragged the fucking energy down.
Yeah. I wish that they could have just done like a couple Iron Man matches and call it a night.
You know what? That would have been fine with me.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that before. You know, I know you guys all bought your tickets, but we're going to do it all right now.
I middled this. I probably should have downed it because, like, as a whole, as a part of the show, it's just really hurting the show.
Yeah, I would say that.
It's all right. It's a middle.
Yeah, I middled it too. We've got... All right. Robert Strong.
Chan, did you get that recorded? That's our new music.
We got a promo for the four-way women match, although only Tony Britt and Sheeta cut a promo.
Nope.
That was weird, right?
Well, because Ruby gets one like right after, so
that's true. That's
that
true.
Makes sense.
I liked this promo, but I'm middling it because I was like, it didn't do anything for me. And I think I was just kind of reaching my limit.
Uh-oh.
With promos.
Yep. Middle.
Color?
I up it. I liked it.
Okay. This is followed with Tony walking out with Ruby Soho because it was Ruby and Sky Blue. Ruby cut a promo. They show us her promo in a little tiny screen. And basically, she's going after Sky Blue because she wants to go after Chris Statlander eventually. Then Sky Blue cuts a promo, and it was so boring, they basically cut it out.
They cut off the end of it, and
they screwed up the timing because the action started before it was done, and yeah, they just sort of go because
who cares? This is right because she was so fucking boring.
Yep,
I'm like, yeah, does she ever have any emotional anything ever? Like, she's just so flat all the time, and it's driving me nuts. Like, I don't want to not like her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like,
supportive.
She's still green and she's still learning. So
I get it.
She's blue.
I understand that.
She's green.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I get it. She's starting out, whatever, but I'm sorry. You're starting out .. on national television?
Yeah.
That's not really starting out. That's like made it. You made it.
Finishing.
You
know what I mean? You're finishing.
So it's really kind of fucked up to be like to give someone so much of a head start that they could be so uncharismatic and boring that it's still okay. You know what I mean? It's just no. I don't agree with this.
I mean, here's the thing.
Give her a fucking manager. Where did all the managers go?
Where did they go? Where have all the managers gone?
I mean, honestly, like, where the fuck are they? Because there's so many women that could, at the very least, be her backup. I don't know.
In the interest of something a little more interesting, I would like to comment on. I don't know if we've had the chance to talk about what Tony Storm is doing. I guess mostly not on this.
That's right. She first time I saw it was Saturday because of I watch a show I don't normally watch, and
the show that shall not be named.
I was like, what is this grand damn thing she's doing? I am so into this.
Yep.
This is weird. Mm-hmm. And it gives her a different character. So like, cause all the girls in the Outcast are kind of doing the same character. So this definitely sets her apart and it's going to be so fucking awesome. Ugh, there's so much you can do with this. I'm really into it. Anyway.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah.
She's continuing that type of person in this small little walkout that she does with Ruby, and I'm really into this.
Yeah, she gives Ruby like a sweet kiss, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, and she's got this like sort of like a peignoir, like negligee type dress thing on, and I don't know, just it fits the bill, it fits the character.
Oh yeah, she feels right out of like a good like Hollywood style noir story for sure.
So anyways,
Yeah, the match was fine. The Ruby promo was great, and the Sky promo was bad. And Storm is delightful.
And so Ruby was great in this. I like seeing her more often. I'm glad she's doing more stuff, and definitely heel work really works for her. And I middled the match. The match was okay.
Yeah, I opted just because I thought Ruby was working hard and Skye's, you know, she's fine. So
yeah, it wasn't up for me.
All right, we've got, after this, we have Roderick Strong, The Kingdom, and Renee! Surprise, surprise!
Five wonderful Renees! Wait a minute, are we on six or five?
I have no idea.
She's going to be burned out by London.
I think this is the last one, so I'm just going to call it five, which is too many. Possibly three too many. Fortunately, this one was super short.
Yeah, it's with Roderick Strong in The Kingdom, and basically they're saying, like, Adam's gonna regret what he's doing. And it's like, all right, okay.
Well, what he said was, you'll see the real Adam Cole, and you'll see the real MJF. And so, like, yeah, could be anything. Could be anything.
I mean, they could just go super heel together.
Sure. Sure.
They could both. Yeah. Who knows?
Anything can happen. Yeah. In this rich magical tapestry that we call life.
I middle it. The only reason why it's not a down is because it was so short.
I downed it because
really
Renee had finally burnt me out. Again, still love Renee. They put her on too damn much.
This is followed by a House of Black promo.
Wait, hold on. Calder, what did you...
It was a middle for me. I thought it was all right.
This is followed by a House of Black promo, which got a thumbs up for me. Like, I don't even know what to say about it. It's everything that Aleister Black wanted to do that Malachi Black is now being allowed to do and given the resources to do. And, you know, the film crew and the whatever else. I mean, it was like... it's so fun and interesting and very peculiar and very much him. And he's saying stuff that I'm like, I can't always even follow what he's saying. You know what I mean? And his promos in WWE as Aleister were like that too. He would be rambling about some shit and then
end with, I don't know why you didn't like that stuff.
It drove me nuts because it was so like nonsensical almost. And it's like, I couldn't follow it. I couldn't, like, even the stuff that made sense did make sense. And so, I don't know. There's, and then he followed with Knock on My Door. I'm like, okay, well,
come and knock on my door. I'll be waiting for you. It's you and me picking a fight.
Malachi's company too. At least here, he's not, again, Caller and I have an album coming out. We're called The Terribles. Good song sung badly. That's what we do. Anyways, anyway. So just he gets to do the same thing, only better. Only like I feel like AEW, because they allow for like video packages and stuff, like they allow then for some of this to have any sort of reality to it. And like he also doesn't have a catchphrase that he has to hook everything on. You know, he still has like a catchphrase, but it's not like, I don't know, whatever. It's just a lot more flexible. And anyways, I just liked it. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, that was you. That was you returning fire.
Oh yes. Now I got the treatment. All
right, so. Yes, I thumbed this up. I thought it was fun. Okay.
Did you thumb Calder? It up, Calder?
Yeah, I thumbed it up.
Okay. All right, we got the Acclaimed coming out to no music at all, and they got mics in the ring, and they call out the House of Black. Ooh. The lights go out, and House of Black come out, and I was like, oh my god, they walk exactly the same, in the same pace, the same way. I mean, it was like they look so fucking scary because they are so cohesive. And I was like, you know, not for nothing, but that is, those three guys were WWE guys, you know, so they are way more polished in their presentation for sure.
Wait a minute, Brody King wasn't.
Wasn't he though?
No.
I thought he was.
No, he was an indie dude. He had a tag team with Malakai on the indies.
On the indies.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I thought he was WWE as well.
Let's Google it.
Let's find out. It's Urban Dictionary.
While you're Googling it, I will tell you that they come out and beat the snot out of the Acclaimed.
Oh, yeah.
Until.
Da, until. Da, da, da. Daddy Ass comes out.
Woo!
And he's wearing regular clothes. So they all leave. And I was like, wait a minute. The Acclaimed are completely incapacitated. Daddy Ass walks out, and these three hulks of men, like, are afraid and leave. Like, what? One guy? Three guys? Seems like the math would work in their favor, but oh well. So they leave, and but then Daddy Ass gets on the mic, and he's cutting this promo, and he basically says, one night only, the Acclaimed with Badass Billy Gunn, not Daddy Ass, Badass Billy Gunn versus House of Black in London. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, if the House of Black didn't have a match during the London thing, I would have been really shocked because they're such a huge team, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, and the same thing with the Acclaimed, right? Like, everyone loves them, and everyone loves Daddy Ass, so they probably won't get to scissor, though, because he's badass, not Daddy Ass.
Well, there will be scissoring at the end, because this entire segment was just for the pop of him coming out and, you know, like, unretiring, which we all knew was coming, but it's one of those things, coming. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you know it's coming. It's just perfect execution.
I really bid into it though. I thought that maybe he was for sure done.
That yeah, I thought so too. Especially because he said only one more match.
Well, so yeah.
Technically, is still retired.
Him taking off his boots, you know, unannounced at a collision. Like, well, yeah, this is not the end of the story. He's not just walking away, and you'll never see him again.
All right.
Okay.
If you say so. I thumbs this up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
We got the Hardys versus Aussie Open for the ROH belt. This was fine. I mean,
the match was fine. This is not the best Aussie Open, but also the Hardys, you know, they're not you know, at their peak. And so it was what it was, but it was the after-match shenanigans that made me thumb this up.
Interesting.
The whole point of this match was really for the end, which Aussie Open, they win, they cut a promo, and then they're saying, oh, this made me laugh, no double clothesline, no kangaroo kick. And I was like, oh, my God. Hilarious because they're Aussie Open and they took such offense to the kangaroo kick. And then MJF and Adam Cole come out. So then the show was going to end with just them kind of like doing a little face off, right? Because they love to end the show this way all the time. Mm-hmm. But no, they start beating each other up and punching each other and stomping each other. And the whole crowd is chanting double clothesline. And they were going to do it, but then didn't work out. So then MJF gets ready for a kangaroo kick, which I was like, oh my God, is he really going to do something like this? but no, he doesn't get to do that. There's a weird ending where it seems like because MJF is holding one of the Aussie Open guys, Adam Cole's going to kick the guy. The guy ducks. So MJF ends up grabbing Adam Cole's foot. And it's like, he saw what happened. It was an accident. Obviously, Adam isn't trying to hurt MJF in that moment. But MJF seems to take offense. And then MJF was going to pull out his ring and hurt Adam. But then he decided against it and they hug it out. It's all very weird.
It's what it is is there, you watch them pulling in the audience. Like, a double clothesline is a ridiculous, stupid spot. The they're getting the audience to want it. And, you know, you see them lining up and everybody's like, oh, and then the kangaroo kick, which was 1,000 times dumber than the double clothesline. And because they're so masterful, you want it. Yeah. And then the hug spot. There is a hug it out spot. They get the audience to chant, hug it out by, like, you know, putting them in these situations where, like, a standard tropey, like, miscommunication, I'm going to beat you up now and this team is over with. They keep teasing it and then bringing it back in. And, like, they've been doing this just amazing build with these ridiculous pieces because they're so good. It's like when there was a match with Mick Foley and Owen Hart back in the day, and they were wrestling around an arena, and Mick, like, grabs like a popcorn bag and hits Owen with it, and he sells it like death. You know, like, they were just like, they're just being so silly, but, like, taking it so seriously. And this is the same kind of thing that, like, it's ridiculous and magnificent and amazing. And, like, that's why I'm so stoked to see this Sunday, because they're doing it with such weird pieces that you wouldn't expect to get over. And they're doing it so well. So, like, that's why, like, it is obvious, but it's obvious and it's still working on us.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a big thumbs up for me.
Yeah.
Same. This is an 82% show.
Hey, it's not terrible.
Like, there was some stuff that I particularly did not like, but like, overall, like, does it make me want to watch the pay-per-view on Sunday? Yes, it does. You talk to me next week. And are you going to make me want to watch All Out the Sunday after that? That is going to be a task and a half. That's going to be difficult. Yeah. But this, like, no question. Like, it's you could have just put on 2 hours of, I don't know, the Gumby show, and I probably would still be super excited. So,
well, who doesn't like that?
Me. I do not like it.
Wow.
You know, there's a ALF channel, and it plays ALF, and that's it. It's just ALF. Also,
when you say ALF channel, like where would this be?
On Sling.
Oh, really?
All ALF.
The channel is called ALF. The channel itself is called ALF. Anyway, the fact that we also, the world was so simple at the time. You could have a show like ALF on primetime television.
Sure.
And it also had a spin-off cartoon.
Jesus, man. I cannot. I don't. Yeah.
The 80s, man.
We did that on No, you're thinking of Dinosaurs.
No, they both did, I think.
Oh, that's right. Like, the government came to take off, didn't they, at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times, good times. See you on Sunday, everybody.
Ooh, enjoy the show.
Ding, 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 doom.